Thank you, Brother James. Y'all hear me okay? Y'all got me? Okay, good. Thank you. I do appreciate that kind and humble prayer that's been offered and ask you to continue in prayer for us for the time we'll be before you this evening. You know, I was talking to a dear friend of mine. I love this part of the year because the days are starting to get longer. Brother Danny, when he first moved up north, he said, Brother Luke, he said, I'm going to tell you, he said, it's depressing up here when it gets wintertime because everything, it gets dark so early, it seems like the days are extremely short. And he said, shoveling the snow is not for me. But anyway, winter is like that. Seems like it just gets more and more dreary as we go. But now it's a beautiful time. We're kind of getting past that point, and we're getting to these longer days. And before long, we'll be into those really long days. It'll be 8:30, and you'll still be outside working. And it made me think about this as I think about how everything transitions. A lot of times, you read older writings, and brethren's view of what was going on around them was extremely dark, and it has been. Many times our view around us is extremely dark. We look around us, we see the things that are going on, and sometimes it's depressing. But I, in that thought, in that same vein, know that this is not the first time anyone's ever felt like that, and that God's word gives us some blessed assurances of some things that we'll face. In Psalms 30, I'd like to begin our remarks this evening. In the first verse, he says, I'll extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. We need to be assured of and reminded, as Brother Tracy prayed, comfort ye, my people. Cry unto what? That our warfare is accomplished. We need to remember that our foes will not rejoice over us because we have victory in Jesus Christ. He said, they'll not rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. We've been healed from all of our iniquities, from the worst disease that's ever been on the face of this planet that still impacts everyone here. Matter of fact, the entire creation is impacted by that of sin. And we've been healed. We've been made whole. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endureth but a moment, and his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. That thought, joy cometh in the morning, you've always heard it's darkest just before dawn. Joy cometh in the morning. On the day of creation, if you go back in the beginning, in Genesis 1, God created the heaven, the earth. The earth was without void, without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. He called the light day. The darkness called it night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. What's amazing to me is how awesome our God is. Here, on this first day, he said, let there be light. Skip on over the 14th verse, you're going to see on the fourth day where he creates the sun and the moon. In the 14th verse, it said, God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two greater lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made stars also. It's amazing to me. I am now teaching a class called Earth in Space. And I'm going to tell you, they got some crazy ideas out there. What's amazing to me is the stars are mentioned here as an afterthought. Oh, yeah, by the way, he made the stars also. But when you consider the stars, and the Bible tells us a number which no man can number, you know, scientists actually set out trying to number them all, name them all. We got a few of them, but the number is still innumerable, just like God's words promised. He made the stars also. As we're studying this, one of the first things I did was I gave them a little project. I didn't know this, but on the moon, there's like a 500 degree variation in temperature, which is amazing. It varies, but the moon has no light in and of itself. But when you think about the moon is simply a reflector of that greater light, which is the sun. And through nature, we can see so many things. And one of the things that we can see in that is that we're called to be lights. But we're just like that moon. The only light that we have in and of ourselves is a reflection of that light that's been placed within us. And that's kind of one of the thoughts I'd like to entertain. Over in Isaiah, go from there and come to here. In Isaiah 60, it says, arise, shine. Arise. This word arise. I don't know about y'all. My mom used to come to my room and say, rise and shine. Time to rise and shine. Here in Isaiah 60, it says, arise, shine. Arise is like, wake up, get up, shine. When we think about this shine, it says, for thy light is come. Now here it says, thy light is come. Arise, shine, thy light is come. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. Here, Isaiah is telling us of, you're called to arise. Arise and shine, for thy light is come. But he says, darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall rise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes round about, and see, all they gather themselves together, they come to thee. Thy sons shall come to thee from far, thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. Then thou shalt see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee. The forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. You know, when we consider that, this old earth, God said that light is good. We know that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And we know what we are, aside from the Spirit of God, is nothing but darkness. The heart's desperately wicked. Who can know it? It's black. But though our sins be crimson, God has washed us and made us whiter than snow. Now, when you think about us being whiter than snow, one of the things that's very interesting, you know, teaching science, is when you look at the spectrums, you see different colors out there. Roy G. Biv, I know everybody remembers red, orange, yellow, green. When you look at the bow that God has set in the sky, you can see the spectrum of color across it. But white is an interesting surface, because white reflects all the light, and we see it as white. When you think about us being as crimson and being washed and made whiter than snow, that's probably one of the best reflective surfaces you can have. That's one of the reasons on the moon looks so bright, is because of its white hue. And we see the brightness of the moon, that lesser light that rules the night. If you back up into 52, we have the same view. In 60, he says, this darkness, the people are dark, everything's dark, but this light, thy light, is come. Isaiah 52 is similar to arise and shine. It says, awake, awake. Awake, awake. You know, I suppose that if a man was sleeping, I know this, when our first child was born and he was laid over there in that crib, we'd sit there and watch, you know, just seeing that little chest rise and fall, just making sure he was still. I don't know, y'all probably all experienced the same thing with your first child. Boy, you watch the second child, they can bounce like a rubber ball. It's okay. But that first one, I'm telling you, nothing was too good for the first one. You had to wash the pacifier off, hit the ground. From then on, you just kind of brushed it off a little bit, gave it back to them. Everything was okay. But that first one, I'm telling you, they had your undivided attention. And I can remember sitting there watching, making sure that his little chest was rising and falling, that he was breathing. A sleeping man look awfully a lot like a dead man, especially me. I can be honest with you. Sometimes it takes a good bit to wake me up. Sister Jessica can testify to that. But a sleeping man can be really close to a dead man because there's no movement there. But for one to arise and to awake from that, that's clearly evidence that they are not dead. Here he says, awake, awake. Put on thy strength. What is our strength? What is our help? What power do we have in and of ourselves? Put on thy strength. He's going to go on and says, put on thy strength, O Zion. Put on thy beautiful garments. Yeah, I can't help when I think about this to think about the prodigal son, the son that wasted his living. When you think about the fact that he came back, what'd the father do? He sent a ring. He sent his garments and placed them upon him. I'm going to tell you that we've been given a garment that is more beautiful than any garment you'll ever have on the face of this planet. I don't care who designs it. This one's the best designed one you'll ever have. Because this is a garment that the Lord has prepared for us, and it's one that will be clothed with his righteousness, the imputed righteousness of Christ. So here he says, awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion, put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For henceforth they shall no more come unto thee, the uncircumcised and the unclean. Shake thyself from the dust. Arise. Shake thyself from the dust. Shake yourself from the nature from which we've been delivered. Shake yourself from this old flesh that we have to drag about every day. Shake thyself, loose thyself from the bands of thy neck, O captive daughter of Zion. A lot of times I think that we give too much credit to things. I think that in our lives, we allow things to have too much power over us. We're told that if we walk in the spirit, we'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But I'm going to tell you, it's a difficult battle sometimes when we're surrounded with such great darkness. Because it'll stick to you. Psalms 101 says, I'll set no wicked thing before mine eyes, for the works of iniquity shall not cleave unto me. It'll stick to you. It's kind of like old folks used to say, if you walk through a dog yard, you're going to smell like a dog. If you lay down with dogs, you're going to get fleas. The same thing, same concept. One of the best things that we can do, I'll never forget the old story about the brother had been kind of absent from he'd been forsaking the assembling of the saints together, and said the old preacher went over there to visit him, had a fire going in the fireplace, and he took a set of tongs. He was sitting there playing in the fire, and he grabbed a coal and moved it out and set it on the hearth. And that coal that was glowing red became very dim and gray, almost black looking. Then he picked it up and placed it back in the fire, and immediately it became the glowing bright white again as it was gathered with the other coals. We're the same way. I'm going to tell you that it's good for us to be together. That's why the Lord's told us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Why? Because I'm going to tell you, we need the love and the light one from another. We need the warmth one from another. We need those things to help us be the lights we're called to be. When you spend more time away from the saints of God, it's easier to be dark than it is to be light. That's one of the things that has plagued, I think, the church in this whole pandemic. There's many churches still not even able to meet together. And I'm going to tell you, it's not good. The Lord said, I just done my son's wedding. It's not good for man to be alone. It's not good for saints of God to be alone. Brother James asked for prayer requests, Sister Neva. I can tell you it's not good to be. I hate being alone. I don't want to be alone. I want to be with the saints of God all the days of my life. The Lord bless me. Because we need that one of another. We need that fellowship. And that's why he says, forsake not the assembling of yourself together, especially as you see the day approaching. I'm going to tell you, I know one thing. We're one day closer today than we were yesterday. The day is definitely approaching. It's not getting further away. It's getting closer here. So it's all the more important for us to draw together to make sure that we are shaking loose from those bonds that had us. Shake loose from the bonds. Shake the dirt off them. Loose thyself from the bands of thy neck. And it says, shake thyself from the dust. Oh, it's real easy to, oh yeah, we're sinners. We're sinners. But I'm going to tell you, brethren, God has called us to be saints. We are his saints. We are his children. We're his heirs. And we are his ambassadors. We're his representatives. And how we represent the Lord is extremely important. And I think so many times this old darkness can begin to encroach in upon us. And our representation, our office may not be what it's supposed to be as ambassadors of Jesus Christ, as representatives of Christ, as representatives of our home country in a foreign country. It says, for thus saith the Lord, ye have sold yourselves for naught, and ye shall be redeemed without money. For thus saith the Lord my God, my people went down aforetime into Egypt to sojourn there, and the Assyrian oppressed them without cause. Now therefore, what have I here, saith the Lord, that my people is taken away for naught? They that rule over them make them to howl, saith the Lord, and my name continually every day is blasphemed. Therefore my people shall know my name. Therefore they shall know in that day that I am he that does speak. Behold, it is I. I'm thankful the Lord still makes sure his people know his name, because I'm thankful he didn't leave that calling up to anybody else other than his son. I'm thankful that he said, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. I'm thankful that he calls us by name. And then he says here in the seventh verse, though, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. Thy watchmen shall lift up the voice, with a voice together shall they sing, for they shall see eye to eye when the Lord shall bring again Zion. Thy watchmen shall lift up the voice. Is that they that bring what? Good tidings of good. I'm going to tell you, in this old world, you hear bad tidings of bad. Bad news sells. Darkness prevails. But in the midst of all this, you're still called to be lights. We are called to be lights. In the fifth chapter of Matthew, the Lord says, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. You know, we went down, Logan's wedding was in Monticello, at the community center there, and they have a museum there of Lawrence County, which used to be a ginormous county early on that, matter of fact, took in most of Walthall and Pike and Lincoln, looked like on the map from what I could see. But in there, there was an old hewn out log, and it was donated by a family. It was in a smokehouse, and it was a salt vat that had been hewn out, had a hole in the bottom. And I was like, man, what a great opportunity. My little nieces and nephews was there. And I said, look, y'all know a lot about this these days. I said, but this right here, I said, this thing used to be filled with salt. And I said, when they got ready to cure a ham, they would dig it out and stick that ham in there and cover it with salt and put the bacon in there. And that meat would be put in there and it would be preserved in that salt. That salt would preserve the meat. It says, we're the salt of the earth. I said, but at some point in time, that salt will have done all that that salt can do. And at that point in time, you got to empty this vat out or else you'll lose all the meat that you put in there. They said, really? I said, yeah. I said, if the salt has lost its power, its savors, its ability to preserve, it's good for nothing at that point in time. It won't profit. And I'm going to tell you that we are the salt of the earth. I had this guy on the radio one time. Oh, yeah, salt makes you thirsty. No, brethren, we're preservers. And I don't care how dark things may get. I don't care how bad things may be. I don't care what things are being reported on the news. One of the things that we need to remember is this. Our God reigneth. He is still upon his throne. He still hears the cries of his children. He has still delivered us from every enemy that we have ever had, have now, or ever will have. He has delivered us from the pit. He has delivered us from the dust. He's delivered us from the grave. He's delivered us from everything that could possibly ever separate us from our God. Our salvation is in Christ Jesus. Our light is in Christ Jesus. Our life is in Christ Jesus. Everything that we have is in him. And it's easy to forget those things. It's easy to lose that savor because you absorb so much. You just keep absorbing things. Here he says, not only are we the salt, which is a preservative, let me finish that thought. I'm very optimistic, and the reason I'm optimistic is I think about Sodom and Gomorrah, as bad as that place was. The Lord would have spared that city. We're still salt in this country in which we live, and I'll assure you there's a bunch of saints of God out there tonight that are gathered worshiping. There'll be many worshiping on Sunday. There's still plenty of salt in this land, and we don't need to lose sight of that, because we can lose sight of that, because a lot of times when we're not together, when we don't see the brethren, we lose sight of that. We start to see all this darkness, and we need to be reminded. A lot of times we're like that old prophet, oh, Lord, I'm the only one. They seek my life also. He said, no, no, you're not. I reserve 7,000 men, not out of need of the image of Baal. I'm going to tell you, we're not alone. There's many of God's saints out here in this old land, and they're salt. But I'm going to tell you that we need to be light, because it's not only good that we're salt, we need to be light. He says, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. That means we need to be seen. Why? Because it does us good. I'm going to tell you, it does my heart good when I see brethren that are facing things in this old world and they're able to face it knowing in whom they trust. It encourages my hope. It encourages my faith. It builds up this most holy faith that we have. So here the Lord says that we are called to be a light in this world. Now, one of the things I think we need to be mindful of is that we're kind of like the moon. Best thing we can do, be the best reflector that we can be, to reflect that light which Christ has placed within us. Because he is that light. Over in John, in the first chapter, it clearly lays out that he is that light. It says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was a light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. If you skip on down, in the 8th verse, he said he was not that light, talking about John, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh in the world. Jesus Christ is the light that we have. If there's any light in us, brethren, I'm going to tell you, it's because Christ has given us that light. Now, in giving us that light, there's a responsibility. For much is given, much is required. And the responsibility is, we're to be the light of the world. We're to be different. We're to be different than the world around us. We're not to let this go, because I'm going to tell you what happened. You know, it's kind of like you'll get your globe suited if you don't watch out. Any of you that have ever trimmed a kerosene lamp will know what I'm talking about. If you run that thing up too much, it'll soot the globe. And though there's light in there, there's no light coming out. You know, and I think about when they went around Jericho, they had those lamps in those pictures. It couldn't be seen. But think about from the perspective of God marching around that satellite, because the light was there. It was in that clay picture. But for that light to be seen, it made manifest to those that were there could, for that light to shine. That's why the Lord told us, if any man will be my disciple, a daily battle, and his clay pot needs to be broken. If this globe that we have, all these things happen, that light gets very dim. I'm thankful the Lord still knows the light's there, just like you see that light going around Jericho. But it may get dim for those around us, because things in this whole world have impacted us. And from time to time, I'm going to tell you, there's some good times of refreshing, times of cleansing, times of washing that come when we get in the presence of the Lord. His Spirit's made manifest. We're gathered with the saints of God. I'm going to tell you, I've never felt better in times in my life than being in service of God with the saints of God. I can tell you that I've never felt better in my service toward him than being there with God's children. That's an important thing for us to do. That's a time of cleansing, a washing we need in a temporal sense so that this light can shine like it's called to shine. In John 8, chapter 12, verse, Jesus says, then spake Jesus again to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. We need to show forth this wonderful light that we have. We need to do so in a way that it might honor and glorify our Father which is in heaven. It's not for us. It's not for our praise. It's not so that somebody pats us on the back. It's so that he might be honored and glorified. And John 15. If you think about this darkness, you think about all these things you see, a lot of times it's easy to forget. I'm going to tell you, the further you are away from that gathering of the saints, the easier it is for that coal to grow dim. The easier it is for that light to grow dim. And we need to be reminded again and again and again. That's why those feet are beautiful over there in that mountain, Isaiah. They publish peace. They bring good tidings of good. They remind us that we are the saints of God. We are his workmanship. We are his heirs. We're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. In the 16th verse of the 15th chapter of John, he says, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of my Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that you love one another. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world," now look at this. This is an important thing. Oh, it's dark out there. Yeah, it is. And if we were not of God, we'd be just as dark as everything we see. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I've chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. I'm going to tell you, I don't know why. And this is one of the things I marvel. I don't marvel that God hated Esau. I can see that. I wouldn't marvel if God hated me. I know that's what I deserve. But I'm going to tell you, by his grace, he has shed his love abroad in my heart and in the hearts of his children. And we know that we're his. He has made known unto us that we're his. And he has redeemed us from all kindred, nation, tongue, and tribe. It is amazing. Our God reigneth, and he still delivers his children. And we're not of this world. We are saints of God. He said, "I've chosen you out of the world." I'm going to tell you, that ought to make you feel like a very special individual this evening. Knowing what manner of man we were, knowing that God in his infinite grace and wisdom, his everlasting love and mercy chose us, set his affection upon us, loved us when we were just like this old world. When we were yet enemies unto God, he loved us. And he didn't leave us in darkness. He's brought us out of that darkness. He's translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. He's translated us into the kingdom of light. He has made us lights. That's why Paul, in the letter to Ephesus, he is reminding those brethren. I'm going to tell you, those brethren saw some things. Those brethren saw some darkness that you and I have never seen. In the first century, they saw brethren that were crucified. They saw brethren that were tortured and to the point where they would blaspheme God. Here in the Ephesian letter, in the fourth chapter, it says, this kind of ties back in over in Isaiah. But he says in the 11th verse of the fourth chapter, he said, "He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." I'll tell you what that's going to be. I know we're sown in corruption and we're raised in incorruption because we're going to be like he is. "That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted, by which every joint supplied, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body and the edifying of itself in love. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their hearts, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. We need to be remembered that we are renewed. We need to be gathered with the saints so that we might be refreshed, so that we might be renewed. We need those times of refreshing that come from the presence of God. In the fifth chapter, he says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Tells us all these things that are going on, all this darkness in the world here. And I'm going to tell you, every one of these things we see on a daily basis. Every one of these things plague each and every one of us. We are experienced and exposed to each and every one of these things. In the seventh verse, he says, be not ye therefore partakers with them. Don't be partakers in that darkness. Why? Because you're children of light. For ye were sometimes darkness. You were. But now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Oh, yeah. I'm going to tell you, brethren, it's easy to get discouraged. It's easy to look around and see the darkness. It's easy to forget what great victory we have in Jesus. It's easy for us not to let our light shine like it should. It's easy for us from time to time to be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. You might say, oh, I'm never ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm going to tell you, there's times that we've all been ashamed of the gospel of Christ. There's times where you had an opportunity to stand and speak those things in truth where we didn't. Paul says, be not ashamed of the gospel nor of me as prisoner, but be thou a partaker. I'm going to tell you, brethren, all these things, all these briars, all these thorns, and I'm going to close with this over in Hebrews 6. In verse 7, it says, for the earth which strengtheneth the rain that cometh off upon it, bringeth forth herbs, meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. But, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. I'm going to tell you, I hope that in this coming year, all of us endeavor with every fiber of our being to show forth those things that accompany salvation. I'm going to tell you, it wouldn't have anything to do with acquiring the salvation, but he has called us to be lights. He's called us to be salt. He's called us to be ambassadors. He has called us to let this light so shine in a way that it might honor and glorify him. And may we be found showing forth those things, no matter how dark it may be around us, no matter what things might be going on. Because I'm going to tell you, even Isaiah said the darkness had grown so great, the people were great darkness. We see that every day. But we're still called to show forth those things that accompany salvation. And may that be a testimony in our walk, in our life, and in our conversation, that our God reigns, and that he is seated in heaven this very moment, and that there's a darling son there by his side making intercessions for us, every looking to that day of his return. May we be found showing forth those things, and may we be found faithful unto the end. May the Lord bless you, is our prayer. God bless you.